Ephesians 4. I've been looking at a clean slate, starting over every day, starting afresh and anew. Do you want to hear it again? Every day's a new day. And it is. And I've been looking at this fall. This will be the fourth message, if I'm counting right, beginning in verse 21. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, here's where my heart is, that you put off concerning the former conversation or conduct, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Paul is saying here to the Ephesian believers, there are some things you need to put off. That old man that's still in there, that old desire, those old drawings, allurements, he says to put it off. He is saying, like taking an old, dirty, stinking coat off and putting on something fresh and new. He says, take it off and then put something new on. I have suggested that we do that every morning, sometimes more than one time a day. A new beginning, a new slate, a clean slate with nothing on it. No preconceived ideas, no thoughts that we come even with the Bible thinking, well, I know what this is, I know what the Bible says, or coming to church saying, well, I'll be another service. And we need to come with a fresh view to whatever we do for the Lord. I have looked at the past we need to forget. If I am to start over with a clean slate, there's some things in the past I need to forget, put behind me and leave them there. I have looked at the problems we need to fix. I can put my problems behind me from the past that we need to just forget. But if I'm still carrying the same problems with me, I am going to do today what I did yesterday. We need to put the past in the past. We need to forget the past, but then also we need to fix the problems. I've looked at not only the past we need to forget and the problems we need to fix, but the possibilities that we need to fear. And I said last time, there are some things that could happen, possibilities. And there are some things that we need to be afraid of. I use the things like slander and sin and slothfulness and selfishness. We need to realize today, as I start a new day with a new slate, there are some things I need to be afraid of. I do not want this to happen to me today. And then tonight, I want to look at this. The people we need to find. The people we need to find. As we embark this new day with a new slate, a new beginning, we are not going to be alone. At least we should not be alone. We are not the only person who matters. It is not just me and mine we need to think of. During my walk with the Lord today, He will make sure that I bump elbows with people. I will be encountered by others. And those others sadly need me, need my help. I want to mention tonight the people we need to find. I thought about this verse as I was looking at this subject, where God is talking to Cain in Genesis 4, you don't have to turn. And now Cain has killed his brother Abel. And God is coming to Cain and confronting him. And he asks Cain, where is thy brother Abel? And Cain's answer was this, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? God did not answer that question, as far as I know. It's not recorded in Scripture. But had he answered the question that Cain asked, his answer would have been, yes, you are your brother's keeper. You are responsible to be a help to your brother, a brother to your brother. Yes, you are your brother's keeper. I say tonight, so are we. I thought about that word keeper. It is an unusual word, a wonderful word. He is saying you are to watch out for him. That word keeper is mentioned several times in the Bible. I'll mention just two or three. In Genesis 6:19, God is talking to Noah, and he is telling him to take the animals into the ark. And there's an interesting thing that he says. Here's the words that he uses. He says, in essence, you are to take them in to keep them alive. Keep them. Same word. So I see from that this word keeper has the idea of protection. God is telling Noah, you take those animals in. And you make sure they are protected, because if they die in this flood situation, we're in trouble for after the flood. Noah is to make sure he takes care of the animals and protects them from the storm outside and all the flood waters. And that's the exact same picture that God says we are to be when he says we are keepers of our brother. We are to be those that protect others, that we do what we can to help them to escape or avoid the evils and the ungodliness of this world. Has the same idea of that hedge that God put about Job, to where the devil could not get in. He could only come so far. And we are to be keepers of our brothers. We are to do what we can, and I'll get there in a minute about how we do it. But we are to protect our brothers and sisters in Christ. That word keeper has the idea of protection. It also is mentioned in Genesis 2:15. Where God is talking to Adam and Eve in the garden. Here's what it says about him. That he put him, Adam, into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Same word. Adam and, of course, Eve later on were there to keep the garden. I thought about the word production. Noah was to protect the animals in the ark. Adam and Eve were to do what it needed to produce the garden. They were to take care of it. They were to keep it. They were to do what it took to make sure that garden could produce the best crop, the prettiest flowers, the nicest trees. They were to work in it and to keep it to where it could do, listen, all that God wanted it to do. And that's exactly what we are to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to be to them what they need, to encourage them and to help them be all God wants them to be. What a responsibility. And every day I wake up and I realize, at least I'm supposed to, that there are people out there, there's people in here that God wants me to be their keeper. To make sure I do what I can do to help them be all God wants them to be. That their life might produce like the Garden of Eden. A manifestation of the glory and power of God. This thing of being a keeper, this thing of finding the people we need to find every day that God sends us to, is not something we should take lightly. That word keeper has the idea of protection, like Noah and the animals in the ark. It has the idea of production like Adam and Eve in the garden. There's another time we find that word keeper, and it's used in Genesis 28:15, where he says, I will keep thee. I will keep thee. He is saying something to a person who really did not deserve anything good. But he said, God said, I will still keep you. I will be to you what you need. In other words, God is making an unconditional promise. He is saying to someone who does not deserve it, I will be good to you even if you're not good to me. Oh my. And that is exactly the story. That's the thing. That's the message that he tries to get across to us. We need to be good to those that we are acquainted with, whether they are worthy or not, whether they deserve it or not. No matter how they treat me, no matter how they live, I need to be to them what I should be. Again, God is making a promise to someone who did not deserve it, but he did it anyway. He said, I am going to watch out for you. I am going to keep you. Oh my. It is so easy. We all know people who are in trouble of their own making. We all know people who have made dumb decisions and have led them to the path to where they are now suffering the consequences. It is so easy in our mind and in our flesh to think they're getting what they deserve. Let them suffer. They made their bed, let them sleep in it. So easy in our flesh to think that. But God said, you love them anyway. You treat them right anyway. You be to them what they need anyway. I think about Cain. I mean, if anybody did not deserve any goodness, it was him. His pride, he thought, I ain't done nothing wrong. In fact, he was mad at his brother because his brother did right. That shows you the twisted mind of our nature. Cain got mad at his brother because his brother did right and he did wrong, Cain did. And his pride would not allow him to admit, I have done wrong. I am getting what I deserve. You see, that's who God's talking to. Cain, when he said, I will be with you. Cain is suffering the consequences. He goes to God and he says, my burden is heavier than I can handle. My punishment is greater than I can handle. And God said to him, I will keep thee. Did Cain deserve it? No. But God's still good and God's still God. And guess what? He wants us to do the same. I'm talking tonight about a clean slate. Talking about people we need to find. Every day of our lives, we're going to run into people who need us. That we have to decide, how will I treat them? Will I treat them in my way, with my desire, the old man with the filthy coat? Or will I let that new man live through me? So I come to this point. How can I be the help? How can I be a helper? How can I be my brother's keeper? Well, number one, supplication. Pray. I mentioned several things. I mentioned Noah and keeping, protecting. I mentioned Adam and producing and making sure the garden did the best it could, and we are to do the same. I've talked about Cain and how he did not deserve good things, but God was good to him anyway. whatever person I'm talking about, whatever type of situation that we're dealing with, how do we be the keeper that God wants us to be? Number one, supplication. Pray for them. Pray for them. Look through this Bible thinking about one thing. How often we are told to pray one for the other. That we are to hold each other up in prayer. That we are to beg God to touch people who sometimes don't deserve it. We need to realize the importance of our prayer. Listen, the devil is fighting them just like he's fighting us, and we need to pray for them. Sometimes it's hard to know what to say to the person, so we need to talk to him about them. Ask him, pray for them. Ask God to give them grace. Let God lead you in how to pray, and he'll help you to do it. They need, hey, it's one thing I struggle with, because I am constantly told by people, and I want you to tell me, by the way, I want you to tell me. Don't dare think you're putting another burden on the poor preacher. Don't think that. I would rather you tell me. But here's what I'm saying. So often in my conversation with people who are really going through difficult times, I want to step in, and I've told you, and fix the problem and make it go away and make you feel better. But I'd mess up what God's doing. So my prayer needs to be, Lord, I don't know what you're doing in their lives. I don't know what's brought them to this place. I have no inkling at all about what they need. So Lord, I'm telling you, oh God, I'm asking you, I'm begging you, take them in your hands. Give them grace to do right. Help them with their attitude. Give them strength. Give them a desire to serve you. Burden their hearts for your will. Make them willing and give them grace to do it. Supplication. I'm talking about people we find every day who need us, need our help. We do that by praying for them. Could I say this? I'll go on. They may need to be broken. Not because of sin, just that God is working in their lives to break them down, to push them toward Him, to where He can help them in a real way. And therefore, my prayer needs to be lined up with what God wants, not what I wish would happen. I'm talking about a new day, a new slate, people that we find. We need to be a keeper to them. That means we keep them by our supplication. We keep them or we help them or we are to them what they need by our not only supplication but our speech. Now, I'll be honest, I struggle with this. If anything is said out of this mouth that helps anybody at all, it has to be God. Because I'm telling you what, there ain't enough in this head to come out of this mouth that's going to help anybody. So I recognize that and I ask God, oh God, please help me to say something worth listening to. Help me to say the right thing. Now I probably am talking to somebody who thinks, yeah, but I'm not the type. I am not a talker. I'm not the kind that's going to reach out and encourage. It's just not in me. Whoa. No, don't say that. Because He's in you and He has commanded us to be a brother to a brother, a sister to a sister, a helper to those who need help. He has commanded us to do it. And if He has commanded us to do it, He will enable us to do it. And boy, I'll tell you what, there's nothing better than knowing God really did use me that time. I don't know where the words came from. I don't know. I mean, He just spoke through me. Oh, but I'm talking about how can we be a keeper? How can we help these people we find every day? We are to go out looking for them, alert when we see them or God puts us with them. Not only supplication, prayer, but speech, what we say. You would be amazed what a simple "I love you" will mean. A simple "I'm praying for you." "I don't know what to say, but I care. I'm listening. I'm here. I'm available." You have no idea when somebody's hurting, when somebody's struggling, when somebody's really going through something difficult. In fact, a whole lot of times, you don't need to say a lot. They just need you to listen. They just need to unload it, get it out. So I'm saying, be that brother, be that sister to that person in need. Somebody needs you. Someone needs you. And how you respond to that need makes a difference in how they're going to make it through their day. Oh, it makes so much difference. We need to be careful what we say. I'll throw this in, it'll scare you even more. Saying the wrong thing can do more damage than not saying anything at all. So ask God to help you to say the right thing. I'm talking about how we help people. We can keep them, we can help them, we're a brother or sister to a brother or sister by our supplication, by our speech, also by our steadfastness. I thought about this. One of the things that encourages me more to keep walking with God is to see somebody walking with God. To see a preacher or a Christian that I know especially that have gone through difficult times and they're still walking with God. They're still raising their hand and praising the Lord. They're still joyful in the Lord. They still serve God in spite of their trouble. That encourages me to keep on going. And I say tonight, be that kind of encourager by living a steadfast life yourself. Nothing was more discouraging, I suppose, than someone who is not doing that. But nothing is more encouraging than someone who is living for the Lord. And you know they're going through something hard. But they're still joyful. They're still walking with God. Let that be a way that you can help somebody else be your brother or sister's keeper. A godly example goes a long way. Optimism of a spiritual nature, joy in the Lord, peace that you show forth, what a difference it can make in someone struggling. I will flip that coin over also and say, gloomy and depressed and sad and critical is harmful. I'm talking about the people we find. And so I turn the page again. This will be the last page. Who do we need to look for? I'm starting my day. I'm not the only one involved with my day. As I go, as I have a phone, as I have a car, as I meet people, as I have a text, as I have people that God is going to send to me, I need to be alert and find those people to where I can be a help to them. Oh, so who is likely to be on the list? I thought about this. We need to find those who are sick. If I had the gift of healing, I'd change some lives. Could I say it again? I say it all the time. I'd mess up what God's doing. People that I care about, and I've been exposed enough to what they're going through to kind of feel a little bit of a connection. We have people in this church, you have people in your family who are going through sickness, going through physical affliction, and it is not little things like I had a sore throat, but now it's gone. Significant sickness, extended sickness, sometimes life-threatening sickness. And those people who are sick need somebody who will reach out and care, will help them. It won't make them well. It won't heal their disease. It won't calm their frustration completely. But the things I have mentioned, like supplication and searching out and finding them and talking to them and doing all that you can, reaching out to be that friend, that brother, that sister, is so important. But I'll go one step further with this thing about sickness. It is bad enough to be sick, but it is worse to think you have been forgotten. I beg you, these folks of our church that have ongoing sickness, don't dare let them think we have forgotten them. Call them. Send the card. Send them a text. Do something to let them know that you still remember them, that they are not forgotten in their sickness. That is being a brother. That is being a keeper. That is being a sister. That is being godly. That is being right. That is doing what God says. There have not been many times when sickness afflicted me severely. But the times that it has, one thing I have been aware of is the importance and the delight of someone showing me they have not forgotten me, that they are praying. It does not relieve the pain, but it helps you go through it. It does not take the sickness away, but it helps you endure it. I say tonight, we need to find those who are sick. I believe number two, we need to find those who are satisfied. I mean by that, there are some in every church, there's some across the world in the body of Christ, really believers, really saved, but they are content to be average. Average to them is good enough. But I read a Bible about a God who is above average. I thought about the people of Israel. We talked a little bit about the wilderness journey and going to the promised land. God promised Israel 300,000 square miles of land. 300,000 square miles. Do you know the most they have ever possessed? 30,000. One-tenth. One-tenth of what God promised that He wanted them to have, that He gave to them, that He promised them. And I thought, so often that's the way we are. We're content with average. We're content with ordinary. And I say this evening that there are people everywhere in the body of Christ that feel exactly like that. But we need to be, you need to be someone who says, average ain't good enough. And I'm not only not content with average with me, I want others to be above average. I want others on fire for God, hungry for God, serving God, thrilled with God, full of joy, full of delight. God's anointing on them. And you don't have to look far to find people who are satisfied and content. And I'm not talking about some fake artificial. I'm talking about something that God generates in your heart that's real and that you want to see others experience in that. Whatever the reason that they are in the condition they're in, someone needs to say, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to try and encourage them. You don't have to jump down their throat. That probably won't work. We need to seek those. We need to find those that are sick. We need to find those that are satisfied. I think we need to find those that are struggling. This will be hard. Nothing I've mentioned tonight is easy. We have enough burdens to carry out of our own. We have enough problems to deal with ourselves. We have enough issues, enough attacks from the devil and the flesh and the world of our own. And now the preacher's saying, go out and find somebody who needs you. Yeah, I sure am. Because that's what this Bible teaches. And there are some people struggling. I know, folks, the struggle emotionally. I know folks who struggle physically. I know people who struggle in any way you can think of. It is such a burden to me, especially it's on my heart right now, an emotional struggle where the devil's attacking somebody's mind. And it seems like to them, no matter what they do not get relief. Peace seems to be impossible. Faith seems to be fleeting. And they need someone to come along beside them, to aid them, to help them in their struggles. Again, just, I love you. I'm praying for you. I'm here for you. Trust God. He still loves you. I'm talking about general things to show somebody there's someone who cares. There are people who are struggling. Those maybe that are battling with sickness that won't go away, or depression, or a seamless, a hopeless attitude, about ready to give up. They're sad. They feel like that nobody cares. It's a difficult situation to live through. Show them that you do care. It'll be tough. It's hard, again, because I feel like I can't help them. I can't help them. And I want them better. But I can do, and I am to do what I can do. What God helps me to be to them. I thought about the people we need to find. We need to find those that are sick and those that are satisfied. Those that are struggling. My last thought, those that are sinful. So far, most of what I've said has been inside the walls of this church or a church, inside the family of God. This takes me outside of the stained glasses, out to the world where people are living in sin and satisfied to be there. They're blind and they don't care that they're blind. They're blind and they don't know that they're blind. They're heading to hell and content to be going. They will brag about going to hell. There are people all around us every day of our lives as we go through our day. Well, there'll be people who are lost. And we need to be able to realize them and recognize them and to be to them what we can be. We do that, back to the points, by supplication, by speech, by steadfastness. We pray for them. We talk to them, witness to them, and we live for God and show them the light that they may see our good works and glorify our Father. I am talking again tonight. I have gone everywhere, but my focus has tried to be, tomorrow's going to be a new day, a new beginning. One thing we need to remember tomorrow is there'll be people in our lives that God has placed there. We need to be alert to when it happens, to where we can be what we should be for them, to help them, to know the Lord, to walk with God, to be what He wants them to be. I encourage us to do that. If you're saved, you are your brother's keeper. You are your sister's keeper. Father, oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord, to see others, to care. Lord, to carry the burden, but to carry it to You. To care enough to be concerned, but take that concern to You. To trust You, Lord, when people are hurting, that we care about, that we love when it rips our heart apart. That we know we can trust You and give them to You. But then, Lord, help us to be what we should be, that we might be Your tool and Your instrument to help them get through another situation, another day. May we truly be our brother's keeper. Let You use us to help somebody who needs us today. In Jesus' name, amen.